of Jesus. He reigns forever. He is our comforter, amen. He is there for us when we are in need of Him. And I'm thankful for everything I've felt here already. And I'm thankful for this music team leading us into the presence of the Lord. Amen. Amen, amen. Just going to get started, but look to your neighbor and tell them, we got it. Okay, find somebody else and tell them, we got it. And you may be seated. If we were to ask 10 different people for advice, or if we were to ask them a question on a certain topic, the truth is we would probably receive 10 different answers. Amen? They might be similar, but surely they would be different. I mean, if you were to ask 10 different farmers the best seed that there is for planting, you would receive at least 5 different answers. The same goes for any profession that you can think of. When you ask them, they usually respond with what works for them. I can remember being a helper doing flooring, and I would work with different people every day, and they all had their certain way of doing things. And if I asked them, why do you do it that way? They would all tell me all the reasons why they do it that way and why it's right to do it that way. And they weren't wrong. It's just the way they did it. And the same goes for anything that we do or we participate in. If we ask questions, we will receive different answers. It's usually what works easiest for them. The same could be said for us, that when we come to that point in life and when we begin to search for something more, when we come to a point when we realize that this world isn't everything that it told us it was going to be, when we finally ask that question, what must I do, or what must we do? When we come to that place in our life, there are a lot of things that claim to have the answer. There are a lot of things that look like they have the answer. And today I don't want to focus on trying to deconstruct those claims by any means. We don't have time for that, and that is not the purpose of this. But today, I want to look at the Bible and see what it says. Amen? I want to know what the Bible's answer is to the question, what must I do? When I finally come to that place and I realize that I can't do this on my own, and when I began to finally ask those questions, what must I do to be saved? I don't want a remedy that someone made up. But we want to know what Jesus said, and we want to know what His plan is for us. Amen? Tell your neighbor, we got it. There is this idea out there, and I have to go here for just a moment. There is this idea out there that tells us that we can just believe and that should work for us. There is this idea that I can tailor the Word of God to fit me and my needs. Amen? We understand that we are not the judge, and we don't stand in the streets with signs telling everybody that they're terrible people. We don't do that. Jesus never did that. But we should always look to His Word first, and we should always see what the Bible says in its entirety when we're searching out answers and when we have questions. Because the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 7, verse 7, howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of man. And I know we're not going to spend a lot of time taking this apart or the claims of thereof, but because we don't have that time, but we must see that if it was left up to man, if it was just placed in our hands, it would be nothing more than easy believism. It's the truth. If man was to put his claim to the message, it would be nothing more than easy believism. Do it the way you want. Make it tailored to you. It's why the Bible says teaching as doctrines and commandments of men. I love the way the Amplified Version says it this way. They worship me in vain. Their worship is meaningless and worthless. Says a pretense. Teaching the precepts of man as doctrines, giving their traditions equal weight with the Scripture. And I am thankful. I said I am thankful to be part of a message that does not put its weight in tradition, but goes back to the beginning of the church and points at Scripture as a foundation of what we must do. Amen. I'm thankful that we don't rely on tradition, but we rely on an inspired Word of God. It's not culture that we grab our thoughts from. It's not tradition that we place our faith in, but it is the Word of God. I'm thankful for that truth today. I'm thankful for that. It is easy to be convinced any other way today. That's why it's called easy believism. It's easy. The Bible shows us how Satan convinced Eve that it really didn't matter what God said. He changed one word and talked them out of the promise. The story of Cain and others shows us that God does not accept just anything. We saw that in Cain. The Bible says that there will be those who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. We know these things. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. And I'm trying to lay a foundation, but it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And the good thing is, there is no shortage and there is no lack of scriptural references when it comes to salvation. The theme of the Bible is all about being saved and staying saved. It always is pressing forward. The theme shows us that he came to save us. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. We know these things. We have said these things. He wants us to be conformed to his image. He has greater things for his people. I believe it. There is no greater life than what he has in store for his people. John 16:13 says, when the Spirit of the truth comes, he will guide you. He will guide you into all truth. There are greater things in God. I believe there are greater things for his people, and his Spirit will guide us and lead us to those things. The word kingdom, if we look at it in the Bible, it is mentioned 144 times in the New Testament alone, the word kingdom. It's called the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. Jesus would spend much of his time teaching his disciples about the kingdom. You'll, You can read many parables that Jesus would teach. Many times Jesus would end his teaching referencing them to the kingdom. Although this would be a struggle for the disciples, it was hard for them to understand the kingdom that Jesus would spend 3 years teaching them about. All they ever knew was the kingdom that surrounded them, the kingdom that they lived in. It's kind of like us sometimes. It's hard to see past our own things, our own problems, our own kingdom. I mean, even after Jesus rose from the dead and was talking to the disciples, they didn't fully get it. They would ask the question in Acts chapter 1, verse 6. Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? They couldn't wrap their minds around the kingdom of God. They couldn't wrap their minds around what Jesus was talking about. They just kept thinking about their own kingdom, the kingdom that they lived in. However, there would be a day that they would be ushered into it. Aren't you thankful that God has always had a plan for his people? There would be a day that he would usher them into it. And what I find interesting is after that day, the thing that they couldn't understand, the kingdom that they fully didn't comprehend, became the center of their teaching and their preaching. It was the center of who they were as they witnessed. Acts chapter 8, verse 12 tells us, but when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. The one thing that the disciples couldn't see at the beginning now became the very thing they would live out every single day. It was all about the kingdom of God. They simply had a revelation. They simply had an encounter with God. They had a revelation of what Jesus was teaching them for them 3 years. And it set them in a direction. But now they had the keys of the kingdom. Now they had the keys of the kingdom. If we took the time and if we were to look at all the teachings of Jesus, the first real hint he gives us about the kingdom is found in his teachings from Jesus to Nicodemus. The Bible says in John chapter 3, 1 through 5. John chapter 3, 1 through 5. It says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus. We've heard this name. A ruler of the Jews. The man came to Jesus by night because he didn't want to be seen by anyone. And he said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that you do unless God be with you. Jesus answered him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 4 says, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Seems like a kind of normal question. How can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Jesus began to tell Nicodemus about the kingdom of God. And this is why we look at Scripture. This is why we need to look at Scripture in its entirety. Because much is made of being born again in the Christian circles today that we have. We understand it's important. This world understands it's important. But it is easy to make nothing into something. It's easy to claim to know the answers. It's easy to claim a prescribed remedy for someone's questions. And I have recently read, within the last couple weeks actually, and I read that some believe, get this, that when Jesus was talking about being born of water, that he was talking about the amniotic fluid surrounding the fetus and the womb. This is what some believe. That's their whole claim they are explaining for the reason is that by being born of water, Jesus was talking about the amniotic fluid in the womb. And we know that that is crazy. Amen. But that is just one example of how people make things up or try to prescribe something. It is a real thing. The problem with that, if they would just keep reading the next scriptures, the next few verses, they would see that what Jesus really meant. John chapter 3, 6 through 7 says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. Scripture, if we let it, will lead us to truth. Jesus even says, marvel not. He says, there is no mystery to it. There is no private interpretation. Spiritual birth is through the waters of baptism and the infilling of the Spirit of God. And this is just one more explanation of Jesus explaining the natural with the spiritual truth. One more way Jesus taught his disciples. So we ask ourselves, what are the keys to unlock the kingdom? What are the keys of the kingdom? To see that, we would have to turn to Scripture. Matthew chapter 16, 13 through 19. Matthew 16, 13 through 19 tells us, when Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The means of accomplishing this new birth was left to the apostles. One being Peter, who would stand up on the day of Pentecost, and he would begin to unlock the door to the kingdom. Jesus told him, I will give you the keys to the kingdom. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. This text or this scripture shows us what God really intended. And at the same time, it shows us the different levels of the knowledge of God that we can go through as we're walking with God. Because it starts off asking, who do you or who do others say that I am? And then it asks, but who do you say that I am? And then it shows us what divine revelation tells us about who he is. And at the end, God reveals to Peter who he is. And he said, upon this rock, I will build my church. It wasn't just something that Peter heard about, but now there was a personal revelation that came to Peter. John 8:32 says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make thee free. I want to let us know that there is something that happens in the spiritual when we understand the name of Jesus. Amen. There is something that happens to us when we understand who he is. There is power and there is authority in the name of Jesus. Come on, what we need today and what we need in our walk with God is a revelation of who he is. What we need is a revelation of the name of Jesus. I want to love this truth and I want to hold it close. I want to lift up the name of Jesus. And I wonder right now if we could just take a minute and if we could all clap our hands and lift up the name of Jesus. Come on, we need revelation of the name of Jesus. We need to hide this truth in our hearts. There's nothing like the name of Jesus. There's nothing like the name of Jesus. We ought to love that truth. The function of the key is to lock or to unlock something. What was given to Peter was the means of opening the door to the kingdom. You see, rather than Peter just standing by the gates of heaven and just being a doorman, it gave the message needed to open the door for the world to see the kingdom of God. And really, when you study it, it really didn't start until the day of Pentecost. It seemed that the disciples didn't fully grasp the significance of the kingdom, or at least everything that Jesus was telling them about. We read it a little bit earlier in Acts chapter 1, 6 through 8. It says, when they were together, this is after Jesus has risen from the dead. Has rose from the dead. It says this, when they therefore were gathered together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? Even after Jesus died and rose from the dead, they couldn't fully understand all that Jesus was telling them, all that he was explaining to him. And verse 7 says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the season which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Just before Jesus ascended into heaven, he began to open the understanding of his disciples. And this is something we need to pray. God, open my eyes to what you want me to see. Open my eyes to see the kingdom that you want me to see. I need to pray that. God, would you help my understanding of what you want? Because Luke chapter 24, 45 through 49 tells us, then open he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it is behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things, and behold, I send you the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. When the Spirit of God fell on them on the day of Pentecost, there was revelation that came with it. Jesus had told them, the Holy Ghost would teach them. Jesus spent 3 years explaining the kingdom of God. But when the Holy Ghost fell on the day of Pentecost, revelation began to speak into their hearts and into their minds. I tell us today what we need is revelation. What we need is to find somewhere to get a hold of Pentecost one more time. His Spirit will lead us unto all truth. I said His Spirit will lead us unto all truth. It was on that day, on the day of Pentecost, when it finally started to sink in and it started to make sense to them. Peter would stand up on the day of Pentecost and he would begin to speak the message that was revealed to him. This was the key which Jesus had told him. This was the key to the kingdom. Peter began to speak about attaining the new birth. It says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. This is truth. This was not wisdom of men or scholars, but this was revelation from God. This was birthed out of a prayer meeting with God. It was revelation. The Bible says the truth shall make you free. And we ought to love His Word. Amen. We ought to love this truth. And I know that we do. But we ought to love His name. And this is what I love about how God sets things up. Because He could have just handed His message to anyone. He could have handed His message to kings. Could have handed His message to those in power. Because He knew what they would do with it. So He didn't do that. But He gave the keys to someone just like you and I. Come on, He didn't give the keys to the rich or the powerful. But He looked at people just like you and I. And He pulled them out of darkness. And He began to teach them. And there was revelation that fell on them. And He put His Spirit inside of them. And I am thankful for that. I'm thankful that the message hasn't been twisted. And I'm thankful that the message has lasted through the years. We ought to be thankful for that. Look at your neighbor and tell them we got it. Tell them we got it. Amen. How many know that we need His name? Amen. We need that saving name. It is the source of blessing. His name is vital to our salvation. There is power, and I said it, there is authority when the name is applied. There is power and authority when we speak His name. Proverbs 18:10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and is safe. It is impossible to overstate the power that resides in the name of the Lord. Philippians 2:9 and 11 tells us, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow on things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. There is no limit of possibility or blessing when it comes to the name of Jesus. There is no other name. If we were to look into it, the only limitation placed upon the use of the name of the Lord is that it must come under the authority and the direction of his word. Psalms 138:2 says, I will worship you towards the holy temple, and I will praise thy name for thy loving kindness and for thy truth. For thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. We don't have time to go into all the scripture pertaining to this, but the simple truth is we need to know what the word of God says about his name. And I know that we do, but we need to know the foundation of John 1:1. We need to know the foundation of John 1:14. We need to know what his word says. And sometimes we need a Peter moment when God asked him, but who do you say that I am? Because there are many that will take a part of scripture or a part of something and try to build a foundation around it. Even if it's not fully true, there will be some. But when we have a personal revelation of who he is, when we have a personal revelation of his name, there is nothing that God can't do. I said there is nothing that God can't do. The Bible even says the demons believe his name and they tremble. We need the name of Jesus. We need the name. I'm almost finishing, but I was reminded of the seven sons of Sceva in Acts chapter 19, 13 through 16. The sons of Sceva, they were priests by birth. They were tied to the priesthood of Aaron. We don't have time to go into it, but they began to see all the miracles that Jesus was doing. They saw the healing of the sick and the disease. God was moving. Everything that Paul touched was being healed. The sons of Sceva saw this and decided to join in. And they started trying to pray over people, and they tried to cast out evil spirits. And this is what they said: I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. In other words, I'll simplify it. They were trying to cast out evil spirits in a name that they had only heard about. They wanted the power, but there was no relationship with the name. They wanted the power, but they didn't know his name. And aren't you glad to be part of a church that knows the name? Aren't you glad to be part of a church that knows the power? Come on, somebody, this is a Holy Ghost church. This is where the Spirit of God moves. We ought to not have to be pressed and prodded, but we ought to be moved by the Holy Ghost. We ought to be seeking after the things of God. There ought to be hunger and thirst for righteousness. I'm thankful to be part of a church that knows the name, that stands for the name. Amen. The sons of Sceva tried to operate in something they knew nothing about, and I've done that. The Bible says that the evil spirits answered and said to them, Jesus, I know, and Paul, I recognize, but who are you? I tell us today, something happens in the spiritual when we take his name on. Something happens to the adversary when a group of people began to speak the name of Jesus. I tell us today, his name covers us. His name has authority over situations. Because when we apply the name, we are applying the word of God. And his word is backing his name. Amen. We look at the New Testament in the book of Acts. It shows us the name of Jesus was a central theme in the lives and in the teachings of the apostles. And I'm going to get it wrapped up, but when we look at the Bible and at the beginning of the church in the book of Acts, you'll see that the name of Jesus was at the central part of their message. And this is what I find interesting. Jesus would spend 3 years showing and teaching these concepts to his disciples. Many days he would sit there telling them parables about the kingdom. But just before, a little before he ascended into heaven, he began to open their eyes to his kingdom. Jesus began to impart revelation to their minds. Luke 24:45. And it says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. This revelation was vital for the future of the New Testament church. And this revelation is still vital to us today in our walk with God. We need his word to be shining on our paths. The Bible says his word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I pray we have revelation of who he is. In the next two verses of Luke chapter 24:46-47, it tells us the outline of the gospel that they would start to preach on the day of Pentecost. It says, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in the name of God. And his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Beginning at Jerusalem. Where were they on the day of Pentecost? They were in Jerusalem. And he began to unlock the kingdom for those. He began to unlock the door for those around him. And I'm coming to an end. If we could stand and if we could have the musicians at this time. The apostles, with their understanding opened, with the revelation that they just had, realized the importance of the saving name so well that they would go forward preaching no other name. The only name that they spoke was the name of Jesus. The only name that they spoke of was Jesus. They would spend the rest of their lives preaching it. I tell us today we need a revelation of who he is. Colossians 3:17 says, and whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Acts 4:10 and 12 says, be it known unto you all that to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, and who God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand before you whole. says, "This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved." Philippians 2, 9 through 11 says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I tell us today that his name is the only saving name. The apostles started the church preaching it this way, and it would continue through the book of Acts. It was the key to the kingdom. This was the key to salvation. It's what Jesus was telling Nicodemus about. We read it earlier in Acts chapter 8, but it tells us, and even in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, we read it, but it says, "But when they believed Philip's preaching, the things concerning the kingdom of God, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." And it continued in Acts chapter 8, verse 14 through 16. Also in Acts chapter 10, 47 through 48. I want to lay scripture down today, because there is no other way to see the name of Jesus than through his word and through revelation and prayer. I want to read one more time how they would kind of end in Acts preaching the name and preaching salvation. It says in Acts chapter 19, 3 through 5, "And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said unto him, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, Verily, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him. This is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus." In this world, we need his name to cover us. We need a covering in the world that we are living in. We need Jesus to intervene. Amen. We want his kingdom in our lives, and we need to be born of the water and of the Spirit. So if you are willing this morning, I'm going to ask that we do what we do around here every week. And I'm going to ask if you're comfortable, if you'll step out and make your way to a front. And maybe grab someone's hand beside you. And I wonder if today, if we could just begin to call on the name of Jesus. As this music team begins to minister to us, I wonder if we could get a revelation, a fresh revelation